Well, hey there, how you doing? Welcome to episode 312 of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, I'm your host, and it's good to have you with me today. Every Monday through Friday, I bring you two or three chapters of the Bible and a short devotional or commentary in about 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament, track two is reading through the New Testament, and the third is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Today we're on track two. We're going to read 1 Timothy 3 and 4. Paul has further instructions for his young protege on pastoring a church. This week we're reading from the God's Word translation. Let's begin. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a statement that can be trusted. If anyone sets his heart on being a bishop, he desires something excellent. A bishop must have a good reputation. He must have only one wife, be sober, use good judgment, be respectable, be hospitable, and be able to teach. He must not drink excessively or be a violent person, but he must be gentle. He must not be quarrelsome or love money. He must manage his own family well. His children should respectfully obey him. If a man doesn't know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a new Christian, or he might become arrogant like the devil and be condemned. People who are not Christians must speak well of him, or he might become the victim of disgraceful insults that the devil sets as traps for him. Deacons must also be of good character. They must not be two-faced or addicted to alcohol. They must not use shameful ways to make money. They must have clear consciences about possessing the mystery of the Christian faith. First, a person must be evaluated. Then, if he has a good reputation, he may become a deacon. Their wives must also be of good character. They must not be gossips, but they must control their tempers and be trustworthy in every way. A deacon must have only one wife. Deacons must manage their children and their families well. Those deacons who serve well gain an excellent reputation and will have confidence as a result of their faith in Christ Jesus. I hope to visit you soon. However, I'm writing this to you in case I'm delayed. I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The mystery that gives us our reverence for God is acknowledged to be great. He appeared in his human nature, was approved by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was announced throughout the nations, was believed in the world, and was taken to heaven in glory. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit says clearly that in later times some believers will desert the Christian faith. They will follow spirits that deceive, and they will believe the teachings of demons. These people will speak lies disguised as truth. Their consciences have been scarred as if branded by a red-hot iron. They will try to stop others from getting married and from eating certain foods. God created food to be received with prayers of thanks by those who believe and know the truth. Everything God created is good. Nothing should be rejected if it is received with prayers of thanks. God's word and prayer set it apart as holy. You are a good servant of Christ Jesus when you point these things out to our brothers and sisters. Then you will be nourished by the words of the Christian faith and the excellent teachings which you have followed closely. Don't have anything to do with godless myths that old women like to tell. Rather, train yourself to live a godly life. Training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. Godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. This is a statement that can be trusted and deserves complete acceptance. Certainly, we work hard and struggle to live a godly life because we place our confidence in the living God. He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Insist on these things and teach them. Don't let anyone look down on you for being young. Instead, make your speech, behavior, love, faith, and purity an example for other believers. Until I get there, concentrate on reading Scripture in worship, giving encouraging messages, and teaching people. Don't neglect the gift which you received through prophecy when the spiritual leaders placed their hands on you to ordain you. Practice these things. Devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. Focus on your life and your teaching. Continue to do what I've told you. If you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. May God bless the reading of His Word. Paul has some good advice for Timothy on pastoring church. One of the most important parts of being an effective pastor is having a godly support team. Different churches have different names for them, but in the translation we're using, the words bishop and deacon are used. Their functions and qualifications differ, but the bottom line is that they must be men of God, as evidenced by having healthy families, no addictions, and wives who are also worthy of respect. Having been involved closely in the church world for many years, I can attest to the value of having high standards for who is selected for one of these positions, and the difficulty that can arise if one of these men fall down in an area of morality. Also, if the men are godly, the advice and support they can give to the pastor will be trustworthy, which allows them to lead with the confidence that they have his back. Since so few pastors have peers that they can rely on, this team can be of great benefit. And then Paul says that the Holy Spirit says that in the end times, believers will desert the Christian faith. And here we go again. Doesn't that sound like a prophecy for today? This is happening on at least three fronts in my estimation. First, people who profess to be Christians are discounting biblical teaching when it doesn't suit them by saying, "I know what it says, but it surely doesn't mean that." Okay, so now words don't mean what words mean. I'm confused by that. Just because you don't like what it says, it therefore doesn't say what it says? That to me just defies explanation. And then the second front is this. Many people are leaving the church. They just don't attend anymore. They feel like there's nothing there for them. They think that they've heard it all and they'd just rather stay home on Sunday. Well, Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, "We should not stop gathering together with other believers, as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other even more as we see the day of the Lord coming." Church attendance is a necessary part of the Christian life, my friend. If you're feeling bored or like you aren't getting anything out of it, my suggestion is to ask your pastor how you can get more involved as a volunteer. I guarantee that you'll begin to feel more connected. What's that? You say you're already doing too much in church? Well, then maybe you need to ask for a break. Maybe you're trying to minister from an empty vessel. That can happen too. Whatever the case, whether you're not involved enough or you're too involved, the answer is not to just up and quit. Whether you know it or not, you need the body, and the body needs you. The third front on this deserting of believers from the Christian faith is the phenomenon of megachurches being led by preachers who have pretty words to say, but nothing having to do with the gospel. Messages that make you feel good about yourself, but never urge you on to follow Jesus or live a godly life, a life that sometimes involves personal sacrifice and turning away from sin. Jesus said, "Wide is the path to destruction, but narrow is the gate to salvation." Listen carefully to your preacher. Does he rely on the Word of God for his messages, or does he just say things that sound good? Test what he says against Scripture. If the two messages don't agree, which one do you think is wrong? I'd love to hear your comments. Do you think I'm all wet, or do you agree with me? Let me know. If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 312.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. Also, be sure to subscribe to the Lifespring Family Audio Bible in your favorite podcast app. That way, you'll never miss an episode. I'll see you tomorrow when we're back in the book of Job. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.